everybody. Welcome to Daniel A. Nelson Podcast. This is where we play and talk about the music you love. Today I have my friend Terry Bass. Terry, say hello to my audience.
Hello, everybody. How you doing this morning?
All right. Great day. Yes, it is a great day. Man, I'm excited to have you on today because we go back a few years, actually more than a few years.
Yeah,
and,
buddy.
I want to get your talk about your musical journey because there are a lot of people that I have interviewed. They have given me their musical journey and the way they've done things. But you have been a blessing to a lot of people in the LA County, all over the world, actually, you know, because your music has been great. So let's start with this question here. Tell me where you're from.
LA, California.
Yeah.
Great city, Los Angeles.
All right. Yeah. And tell me a little bit about your background as far as what sparked you to start playing your instrument. And tell me your instrument you play. I'm so sorry about that.
My main instrument is bass. I fiddle with rhythm and lead guitar and some piano too. But the way the journey started was really crazy because I remember being actually kindergarten. My grandma gave me some drums. And we were like boom, pop, pop, boom, pop all day long. And, I never got any good on drums. But one day my mom takes me to one of her high school friends, which we call auntie now, it's so long. So she went to school with my mom and dad and kind of babysitted us. And when we would go by there, she had a band. Rosie Lee Brooks. If you look on Facebook, you'll see her doing the Jimmy Lee, Jimi Hendrix tribute.
Okay.
And she was one of his singers and his girlfriend.
Okay.
So a couple times I went by there. He was not only there, but her band would be there. At that time, I didn't really understand all I was saying. But you know, across the street, there was another music band, Bloodstone. Charles Love lived directly across the street. And he had two boys, Bear and Curtis. And they had a band, and they were actually younger than me. And they were bad. They used to play stuff from Chicago. And I was watching them boys playing that. Inspired me, you know? I wanted to play then, you know? That's how it happened.
Oh, man. That is so cool. That is so cool. Hey, what was the first type of bass that was purchased that you had?
I remember what happened, because like I was trying guitar for a while, and my sister, she says, Terry, your last name is Bass. You ought to play bass. And on my birthday, my mom, she got me a Tesco bass, a metal flake blue 4-string Tesco bass. Man, it was pretty.
Oh. That is so cool. That is so cool. Now, did you play bass in any like junior high school bands or anything like that?
Well, I didn't do the high school band deal, but I was in Pomona and I played with my cousin, Sandra Band and Positive Thing. I was in 10th grade and we were sneaking me in bars and stuff. Yeah, that's how it all started.
Yeah, I know about that. You know, yes. Oh man, that is so cool. Now, let's move forward to some of the things that you're doing now, because this is the. I know in this day and age, life has changed, but as far as with the music world, with the internet stuff, but let's go to the thing with you're starting to play at churches and things of that nature. What was your first church function or church gig or your first actual performance?
Well, let's go to the thing with the first performance was with Positive Thing when we was out in Pomona in high school and stuff.
Okay.
But where I got the church influence was, see, I had fallen off and went on a deep, deep dive, homeless for 17 years.
Ooh.
And yeah, I went to prison and all kind of stuff. I was on, I'm gonna tell you, I'll tell everybody listening, you can know the Lord, and he can reveal himself, but you still don't have to really know him. That's why you be doing some of the stuff you're doing, don't know how to get out. And I was there. I had more than enough proof, but I was doing the stupid. But one day, when I got out of prison, my parole officer, her name was Miss Parrish, she says to this one guy on the phone, "I'm gonna whoop your butt with my pen." You know, if you don't do right, you know, he had called in. He was in a rehab, and I got excited. I need that too, because I was all right. I just been out for 2 days, and I was dirty already. I'm like, don't throw me back in. I need the same thing you told him. Give me a chance.
Right.
And she put me to the Salvation Army, and when I went to the Salvation Army, they call it on the nickel, downtown Los Angeles, Skid Row, and everybody was going to all these different jobs on different floors. I said, I want to work on the 7th floor with the chapel. I want to work in the church. So I became a soldier of the Salvation Army. And there they needed a bass player. And that's when I started playing in the church. And that started from there. I left from there. When I graduated from the program, that's when I came over to God Inspired. It was God Inspired Community Church then.
Okay. Man, that is interesting. That is interesting, man, how life can... See, this is why I need people to listen to this podcast, because everybody has not only just the music, but the journey itself, of how things are transformed and how music transformed people. And we don't really understand the power of music. A lot of people don't, but then there is a lot of people who do. So...
It's funny you say that.
Go ahead.
When you say the power of music, you know that 3M emblem that they is some big computer company or some 3M. I back in the day when I first went to the Salvation Army, I actually was wanted to write a song about 3M, and it was "Music Works Miracles with Your Memory." You could take a scripture and have a problem trying to remember that scripture all day, but put it to some music.
Right.
I guarantee you'll remember it a lot easier.
Well, you know what? That's interesting, man. I was looking at this interview with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and they had made mention of that. And it's like when you're learning your ABCs, you know, if you're trying to teach a child ABC, it's kind of tough. But when we... A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Man, it says, bam, because of the rhythm, the flow of things. So, and that's why I mentioned about the power of music. And let me ask you this. When you got with God Inspired, how did they receive you and your gift?
Well, who is funny? You know, it's like we had... me, Rashad, and Randy Allen. Remember Randy?
Okay.
And as many times Randy didn't show up, and it was just me and Rashad, drums and bass. They welcomed me, and I was happy to be there. And man, it was this. I miss them right now. I know Chris. Open up, but yeah, they welcomed me, and they allowed me to do some of my songs, and that's what I love. They allowed me to be myself.
Okay, let's segue into this, because you mentioned your songs. You are a recording artist, ladies and gentlemen. He is a recording artist. You can find his stuff on SoundCloud and any other platform. Let me ask you this. I know you mentioned your first song you wrote. What inspired you to write that?
Woo-hoo. Well, remember I was telling you how I met Jimmy and my Bloodstone and all that. And at that point, I wanted to be a star,
Right.
But then, 1974, I was going to Horseman Junior High School, and we try to get on the bus, RTD, on the side. They park on the side of the school, and the minute you pay your money to get on, the Crips will get on and want to beat up everybody and empty their pockets, so everybody go jumping out the windows and run out the back door and run home and catch the bus, right? Well, yeah. I would go home only to find Tookie sitting at home in my house, the leader and founder of the group. You know, so within a little short time, you know, it's like it was chaos at home because that was my sister's boyfriend's friends. Tookie, Blocky, Odie, Cody, all of them would be sitting at home. And one day, they eventually stole that blue Tesco guitar along with our stereo and some other things in the house. They broke in. But
Terry, I think we lost connection. I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm having a small little technical problem here. I think we lost connection. Can you hear me, Terry?
Daniel?
Yes, okay. There we go. All right, yeah. Okay. All right, we lost a little connection.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. But it's what I was saying, after seeing that they were... you know, shooting at, I got hit for no reason. I was a good kid. Oh, yeah. And I was mad at the world, you know? And at that point, I started to write a song. That song was called Pitching the Boogie. And that song was actually about God's wrath. And I had no church learning at all.
Wow.
But it was about the wrath of God. And for some reason, Daniel, it was crazy because it was like Rick James and Bootsy Collins, the voice.
Yeah.
The bass line was just like them, but they were unheard of. They were playing behind James Brown and Funkadelic. You know, they were backup bass players, but my music sounded just like their music. But it was about the Lord. Okay. And was so crazy is I had lost the idea of wanting, not even feel like I'd ever do it any at the same time, but it's like he told me to do something. And all these years, out of all the people I've met, Daniel, he hasn't given me a reason to get off. You know, I've met plenty of people, but he's shown me so much of who he is that I dare to sing anything else, really. I mean, even when you even hear my songs about love, it's still, it's script, it's spiritual, you know. Okay. It's I refuse to sing anything that's going to cause somebody to fall over the wayside.
Right.
I won't do it. I refuse to do it. That's hypocritical to me. I'm gonna feed you some poison so I can feed my baby and ask God to bless it.
Yeah.
Just don't feel that. A lot of people, they might feel good with that, can live with that. I can't live with that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Man, let me ask you this, because I know that you, again, I mentioned that you work with a few people and everything. I want to segue into some of your current stuff. And I know we've talked off the air. You worked on a couple of new projects. Tell us a little bit about those projects.
The last project few that I did, one of them was called Let Me See You Move. And that one there is about my wife. Ever since this woman that I've married, she is so amazing. I met her in the third grade. first, second, and third grade. And the songs that I've been writing since I've been with her talk about how all my other relationships have been practiced. You know, it's like you get heartbroken over stuff, but you know, if you don't give up on God, you just look at everything you go through is a lesson. It's lessons, lesson after lesson, and he's preparing and shaping on you, even when it comes to relationships. You know, it's, you don't look at the one who broke your heart. It broke your heart. They prepared you to get you tougher and ready for the one that's coming. Right. The one that he prepared you for. You know, you can get mad, get stuck on stupid, but you should be glad that they made you stronger. I was listening to TV Jakes the other morning. And he twisted it on you. You always want to pray to God about your enemies and like even like when David said, "Break your teeth," right?
Yeah.
But guess what? He said, "If you believe that God is so amazing, the same power that He forgave you is the same power that's for the enemy that you're upset with." Okay? That same power.
Wow.
So you can't afford to be sit back and get upset because they were unlearned and you just caught the intel of their ignorance. You caught them and they didn't know and you didn't know no better either. You both don't learn. So you know, in my gospel I sing, I have some love songs. It's like one of them says, you don't have to wait on me. It says, out the door, I've been set free. And I'm sweet and sweet. It says, I got a brand new girl and we ain't living in sin. Stuff like that. You know, it's talking about the fact that I'm in love, but we don't got this sinful relationship that I've had before.
You know what? Put a plug right there. So I have this question because I've asked a lot of people this question and there's no right or wrong answer. We always talk about the power of music, and the thing is, let's take a country song or any song, a ballad song. When you strip away the lyrics, can you still feel the power of music?
Oh God, I got a song that, for those that are listening, if you go to my YouTube and pull up "What Would the Lord Say?" The song is a musical. There's no lyrics. But you would hear "What Would the Lord Say" in the song. You would hear Him answering. You would hear the whole thing. It doesn't need words.
Okay. Because the reason why I asked that, because the reason why I asked that, because you know, there are a lot of jazz musicians that don't sing, and they express through saxophone, piano, violins, and all the other different instruments that are played. And I'm just I just believe truly that music is so powerful. Now, lyrics, I'm not saying they don't help or they're not key. But there are times where I always felt that I could listen to music without any lyrics, and it would take me to a place to where I just imagine, you know, if I want to be in some type of exotic place, I can listen to some Joe Sample, and his music would take me there.
Right.
And that's the reason why I asked that question. I know there's no right or wrong answer, but now, Give us that again, YouTube, and what is it called?
What Would the Lord Say?
Okay, and we can find out on YouTube. Uh-huh. Man, that is interesting. Now, before we go off the air,
that's on SoundCloud. It's on SoundCloud. SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. Okay, SoundCloud. Yeah. Now, before we go off the air, tell me what you got going on for the rest of this year as far as musically. And if you're doing any teaching, because I know you do work with some boys, right? I mean, for boys club or something like that. Weren't you doing something like that?
No. I just work like love kids, man.
Okay. You
know, yeah, I just love kids.
Okay.
But what I'm doing right now, because I had released an album. Once I figured out, you know, all today is self-promotions, right? And once I figured out how to get all those promotions, I was so excited. The first album I released was called My Worth album, Jerry Bass Worth. And I did a couple mistakes on this. Now, what I mean mistakes, one song the lyrics were up, the other song was the first version. I liked the version better. But in order, I should have released the first version on that album anyway. So that was okay. It's just not the way I wanted it. But I'm doing a new one now that's coming up, and it's called We Are One.
Okay.
The message of We Are One, when I started the journey back in 74, God gave me songs, you know, explaining to me about us being one, him living inside of us. He gave me songs, He Is Us, okay? That all sorts of slogans to say that mention, but I had no scriptural proof. And it took all these years, just like when Moses was off of Rome, I had to go and learn to do the herd for 40 years before he could work with the people. He wasn't ready yet. Everything I was singing about, I had to learn word to word, talked about it. And everything he gave me, he showed me one breadcrumb after another. I didn't get the weird one out from no preacher. I got it straight from the Holy Spirit, and it took many, many years of gathering information till he finally gave it to me all fully. So the message of We Are One, I'll tell you, Daniel, I got a chance to, when I was doing Uber and Lyft, I rolled over 10,000 rides. 98% of those people heard the message of We Are One. Wow. And that message, I've spoken that message to people from all different denominations. It's in all their Bibles. It's in all of them. They might want to cut it out. I'm not going to say no names, but We Are One is there. There's even a denomination called We Are One Church. It's a big message. And I'm going to tell you, Daniel, I'm going to say this while we're on air. While I was doing my journey, because we're talking about the journey, one of the last songs I wrote is called Our Journey. And it's on YouTube, too. And during that journey, I've watched, you know, when the Word of God talks about my Father, nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand, when he's in John. Okay. Okay. I've watched many, many preachers preach that. And most of them will skip over the part where he gets to verses 10. Where he says that they be one as we are, verses 21, 22, 23. All of them are talking about us being one.
Okay.
Even as, also as we are one.
Yeah. Hear me? Yeah.
Why you skip over that? Because see, this is what's really important, Daniel. Watch this. It's the fruits of, the weapons of warfare. You got the sword of the spirit, it's a dagger. It's not a fencing sword. It's a dagger. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the one where you're technically in attack mode through the word. For it is written, as our Lord said to Satan. Talk about with the word. That's when he was using his sword. Well, he also used that same sword when he was talking to the Jews in St. John chapter 10. Okay. And he says, isn't it not written in your law? I said, your God. And that, you can find that right in Psalms 82. Okay.
Wow.
He was defending himself because they wanted to stone him because he said, I and my Father are one. He said, for many good works I've shown you. For which is your good works to you show? He said, they say, for good works we stone you not, but for that thou being a man, makest thyself God. And that's when he went to the word. He said, isn't it written in your law? I said, your God. But see, I've watched many, many preachers, when they get to that, they skip over that, Daniel.
Okay.
Why do you think that the Lord would use that tool before he goes to the cross to tell us who we are?
Yeah.
Huh?
Man. Yeah,
that was in his last prayer, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But when he was praying about what was about to happen, he used those words and he used that tool.
Hmm. Man.
Okay.
That's powerful.
That's powerful. So, and you gotta think about it.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Now, when you're writing that, and you're writing those songs, you're reading scriptures first, or you just let them kind of sit in your spirit, and then you kind of like, man, bam, let me write. Is that how you do that?
Sometimes you're just being there meditating. Sometimes you just might be in awe and just thinking about the word. Sometimes you might just be listening to a message.
Yeah.
And you hear something
okay
in your spirit. or the preacher would say something profound, and you start pondering on it. Next, you know, you're like, I need to write about that. A all phrase right. will come to you, and you have to do
it. Yeah. Okay, well, before we go, I want you to give me three. I should say five, but I want to narrow down to three. Three songs that transform your life.
Three songs? You mean other artists?
Any artist.
Okay, I've got a good one for you. And this goes back to the beginning of my journey. And it's going to me. But remember
I'm talking about Rosalie okay. Brooks? And one of my favorite artists is Stanley Clarke. And Rosalie Brooks
turned me on to Stanley Clarke. She gave me his album.
All right.
And on that album was called a song called Journey to Love. Okay. And it says, the life is just a game and there's many ways to play. And all you do is choose. La, 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 yeah. la, la. That's the only words in the song.
Okay.
And the rest of the song is all music. You know that what you was talking about? How music right. has power? That song.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Stanley Clarke. Okay.
Okay. Another one was from Songs in the Key of Life by Stevie Wonder. The song okay. Ass.
Yeah. Oof. Okay.
Yeah. That song, when I first came to Christ,
yeah,
and God was giving me a special tailor-made draft just for me, way of showing me that he's real. And every 6 months he was revealing himself to me another way. And Daniel, when I tell you this, it would take another couple of days for me to tell you those stories. But I'm talking about from speaking in tongues, dreams, drawings, showing and telling everybody to where the dreams and drawings manifest, and the people that I showed were right there to see it. I've had that happen more than once in my life. All sorts of stuff. I don't need no evidence.
Yeah.
Okay. Evidence I didn't need.
All right.
But that Steve song
yeah, Steve
by
Wonder.
Stevie Wonder
yeah.
showed up in my dream as part of one of those episodes. And then the okay. third song would be, and this is one of my favorite bass players too, Larry Graham.
Yeah.
One in a Million.
Yeah.
See, okay. that One in a Million is We Are One all day long. A One in a Million you.
Yeah.
See,
man.
See, well, I'm going to tell you, Daniel, music. Who was the greatest musician of all times before we got down here? He jealous.
Yeah.
He jealous. Right?
Right.
He jealous. That art angels jealous, but think about it. My real true opinion, we were created and given those talents only to praise and worship the Lord.
Yeah.
He wants to hear a new song just like me and you get tired of hearing the same old song over and over and over. Yeah. Think about it. You made in his image. Don't you get tired of the same old song?
Yeah.
He said, enter the song in his house with a new, sing a new song. You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
All the songs. So those three songs.
Man, yeah. Okay, that's cool. That is so
let
cool.
you know where my spirit's at. And I've never been able to get off that.
All right, man. Well, I really appreciate you just taking time out, 30 minutes just out of your day to give us your musical journey. Man, you're a blessing. And I really appreciate you, Mr. Terry Bass, audience. Let's give it up for Mr. Terry Bass. Thank you so much, man. And we'll be talking real soon.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Thank you for considering me and having me on your show, sir. It's a pleasure.
All right, man. Be blessed, and we'll talk later.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you now.